with me to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. It is so good to see you here this morning. My goodness, the presence of the Lord is so strong and so powerful here this morning. I'm so glad that you're here and a part of what God is doing. Let me take just a moment and let me take maybe a minute or two and set up the series, and then we will segue into the message this morning. I have felt compelled for some time to preach a series from the book of Revelation. And I've become aware, as many of you are aware, that in recent weeks there is yet another prediction that the world is coming to an end. In fact, I think the date that is tied to it this time is September 22nd through the 28th. I have no idea how they came up with that idea, but that is the kind of the idea that they came up with. Some of it is attached to some comet that actually doesn't exist, according to NASA's. So some of it is kind of out there. Other of it is tied to some very interesting thing: the four blood moons that I'm sure you've heard about, and Jewish holidays, and the ending of some Jewish days, and so forth. And some of it is intriguing, and some of it is nonsense. And I just want to tell you right up front, I have no idea when the world is going to end. I just have no idea. In fact, I know this. I know that Jesus told us clearly to not get preoccupied with dates. Very clearly to not get preoccupied with dates. However, he did tell us to be aware of the seasons. Amen. And the seasons that we are living in. And I do have to tell you, even though I just do not subscribe to this date-setting stuff, I will tell you this. When it comes to the economics, anybody see what the stock market did this week? When it comes to politics, when it comes to this condition of society, I mean, some of the stuff that's going on now with Planned Parenthood, are you serious? Right? I mean, are you serious? And yet it just seems to, I'm grieved at what I see, and then I'm just stunned at the lack of reaction to it. I mean, does that not just stun you? The lack of reaction when a doctor and a Planned Parenthood official can sit and over coffee talk about cutting up fetal babies and selling the parts and there's no reaction, really? When you look at the condition of our society, when you look at the court rulings that have come down in the last few months, when you look at the rejection of Christianity, when you look at the persecution of Christianity worldwide, whether it is kind of a discrimination that's going on in America right now, or whether it's outright persecution where Christians right now today are giving their lives in numbers that are greater than they ever have in the history. When you look at all that, I do have to tell you this. It does seem to me that history is poised for the curtain to be drawn. It does feel like we are living in a season when it seems like the world is coming to an end. The good news is Jesus had something to say about that. Amen. Amen? He had something to say about the end of the world. And in fact, written in the book of Revelation is a message to a people who they themselves seemed like they were living at the end of the world. That was in the first century. And in the 21st century, there is that feel again. So that's kind of, so over the next few weeks, I want us to kind of delve in to the book of Revelation and to look at some of the themes, some of the things that are being brought forth from the book of Revelation. And just look at that just for a few moments. In fact, because what I believe is this, there is great hope. There is great hope in the book of Revelation. That is, if we can get the point. If we can get the point. Have you ever found yourself where you realized that you just missed the point? You know what I'm talking about? You've been doing something for a long time and you just missed the point. Let me give you an example. My family says that I have a great ability to absolutely ruin a road trip. Because to me, the point of a road trip is to get there. Can I get an amen from the men in the room? The point in a trip is to get there. You know, I mean, I could ruin a road trip. Man, we stopped strategically and quickly. In fact, I've been known on some of our trips home from Alabama when we lived over there, I've been known to run our stops like a NASCAR pit stop, man. I mean, there's three of them and one of me, which means it will take them not three times longer in the bathroom, nine times longer in the bathroom. So, man, we'd get ready. I mean, I would pick a place. I said, look, I can go in the bathroom, do what I need to do, come out, order for all of us, have it be sitting back in the car with the car running when y'all get out of the bathroom. All you have to do is go to the bathroom and get back to the car. I mean, I was running it like a NASCAR pit stop. You know, in, out, boom, boom, on the road again. Can I get a hallelujah from the men in the room? And after several years of that, I realized that I was missing the point. Now, can I get an amen from the ladies in the room? The point was not the point was not the trip. You know, I wanted to get there and say, man, we made it in 5 hours, 27 minutes, 34 seconds, better than we've ever made it before. That was the point of the trip. No, the point of the trip was riding in the car with me the whole time. And I made a lot of trips where I just missed the point. And I think that sometimes when we approach the book of Revelation, that we may do the same thing, that we may travel through it and miss the point of it. We analyze it chronologically, that is, we set out a timeline and man, we'd read through that, this happens first and this happens second and this happens third and this happens fourth, and we analyze it according to the symbols. Man, I mean, this mountain means that, this, and this star means that, and this star falling from the heaven means this, and these demonic locusts, they mean that, and all of that symbolism. And listen, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong about any of that. That is not what I'm saying this morning. I'm just saying that's just not the point. That just is not the point. In fact, let me reinforce. I think I have a good idea of how it's all going to pan out. I think I have a real good idea of the timeline. I think I have a pretty good grasp on it. I've spent a lot of years studying this book twice. I've taken over a year and taken a group through it verse by verse. So I think I have a pretty good grasp. But let me tell you what's not going to happen. What's not going to happen is whenever Jesus calls us home, if it doesn't fit my timeline, I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going because this doesn't line up. This hadn't happened. No, I'm on the load, friend. It doesn't matter about the timeline, the symbolism, anything. I'm on the load. I mean, can we just admit this morning that at our best, we think we have it figured out. At our best. But again, I think we can go through that and all of that and miss the point when the point is right there in front of us. See, listen, John lived in a world that seemed like it was coming to an end. He was living under the boot of the Roman Empire. Domitian was a cruel ruler who had his enemies murdered. He ordered great persecution of the Christians. He was exiled to an island because of the word of God and the testimony that he gave. This was an 80-year-old man. He had seen the siege of his beloved Jerusalem. He had seen the destruction of the second temple where in AD 70, Titus from the Roman Empire went down and just leveled the temple completely. He had seen the destruction of the temple. He had seen his friends martyred one after the other after the other. He had seen some of them crucified, some of them fed to the lions, some of them burnt at the stake. He had seen all kinds of things. He had seen the bloodbath in the Roman government. He had lived through 1 year when in 1 year there were four Caesars who killed each other, one after the other after the other after the other. His world seemed to be coming upside down and unglued and untangled and seemed like it must be coming to an end. But in the midst of that, this great apostle, this old 80-year-old apostle, was given a hope. And I want to read the first few verses of Revelation, and then I just want to talk to you about it just for a few moments. Look what it begins to say in Revelation verse 1 through verse 8. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take what is written in it, because the time is near. Amen. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us a kingdom of priests and to serve God and the Father. To him be glory and power forever. Amen. Look, he is coming in the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning that for the next few moments, you will give us a revelation of Jesus Christ. You will let us see and sense and know and hear the urgency of the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ in our midst. Lord, let us in the day that we live, have a glimpse of the hope that John saw. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The whole book, the point of the whole book, of everything after these first five words, this is the point of the whole book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation is apocalypsis. It means an unveiling. It means an unwrapping. It means a manifestation, a revealing. The whole book, everything about the whole book is summed up in those five words at the beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything about it. Listen to me this morning. You must understand this was not a theological paper for John. This was not a theological paper for John. John experienced the revelation, Kevin, of Jesus Christ. For John, this was not a treatise of how the future events were going to happen. This was the unveiling, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. John experienced this. You understand? John is an old man on an Isle of Patmos, and he's a mining rock like the other prisoners there. And on this 80-year-old man, one day, the Holy Spirit begins to visit him. He's at the end, he believes, of the world. And the Holy Spirit visits him and says, John, I want you to know this. Things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is King. Amen. And in that, he begins to unwrap it. He begins to unveil it. John sees churches and angels. He sees demons, clouds of locust demons. He sees dragons and a red dragon and a beast. He sees a woman rising up. And in all of it, there is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. The hope for John in his world and in our world is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the hope of the world that John lived in, and it's the hope of the world that we live in. Everything else about the book of John, and we're going to talk about some of those themes as we go through, but everything else in the book of John, this is the point. And I want you to get this. Listen, if you miss the point, what's the point? If you understand what every symbol and every sign, what every time, if you understand what it all how it lines out, but you miss the point that things are not as they seem, that Jesus Christ is King. If you miss the point, then what's the point? The point is that Jesus Christ is King. In fact, you can watch it as you thumb through the book. And we're going to do that some over the next few weeks. You find as you go to chapters 2 and 3 that Christ is the king of the church. You go on a little bit further and you see that he is the king of nature. You go on a little bit further and you see that he is the king of world events. You go a little bit further and you see that he is the king of evil. You go a little bit further and you find that he is the king of eternity. You go a little bit further and you find that he is the king of death, hell, and the grave. Over and over and over, in every scene, we see this. Things are not as they seem. Christ is king. That's the whole point of the book of Revelation. Now, does it give us prophecy? Absolutely, it does. Does it give us a sense of the way things are going to be in the end? Absolutely, it is. And I am not diminishing. Don't you walk out of here this morning and think, I'm not diminishing any of that whatsoever. But the reason God gave that prophecy to John was that so he would know how to live in a day when the world seemed to be coming to an end. And the same thing is true for you and I this morning in the world that we live in. Things are not as they seem. Christ is king. Jesus is Lord. Amen? He is Lord. In fact, the book ends like it begins. We begin with the revelation of Jesus Christ. It ends with, "Behold, I am coming. I am coming soon, and my reward is with me that I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Yes, I am coming soon." It ends like it begins, from beginning to ending and all in between. Jesus Christ is King. That's what it says over and over and over and over and over again. Every time you see something come on the scene, and then you see God's power over it, you see Jesus Christ is King over and over and over again. In fact, let me just show you from the verses that we read this morning. And I'm not going to preach very long, but I just want to emphasize this to you this morning. Let me just show you from the verses that we read this morning some phrases that jump out to us that say this over and over again. Notice in verse 5, it says he's the faithful witness. You know what that tells us? Christ is King over persecution. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to stamp out the truth. When you came before a Roman court, you had to declare that Caesar is Lord. And if you did not declare that Caesar was Lord, by Domitian's rule, you would be fed or you would be persecuted, you would be put to death. Listen, they tried to stamp out the truth. But I want you to know this morning that it says Jesus is the faithful witness, my friend. He will witness to the truth. And I've got to tell you this morning, the same thing is true today. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there is this attempt to silence the truth today. When Christian bakers and florists and wedding planners are sent to school to be retooled because they will not bake or serve a homosexual gay wedding church. Listen, what is that? That is this stamping out. But I want you to know this morning, things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is King. He will be the faithful witness to the truth no matter what. I don't know about you this morning, but that encourages me in the world that we live in today. Amen. Christ is King over persecution. In that same verse, it calls him the firstborn of the dead. Can I tell you something this morning? Listen to me. Death does not rule. Jesus rules. Death is not king. Christ is king. Things are not as they seem. Christ is king this morning. Jesus rules. Listen, death had to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen to me this morning. When you stand at a loved one's graveside, things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is king. He is King. There's hope in that. Listen, there is hope in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Great hope in the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can see another phrase here. Notice in verse five, it says, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. One version calls him the prince of the kings. What it actually means is that he is first. He is first. Listen to me this morning. Caesar is not king. The politicians are not king. ISIS is not king. Terrorism is not king. Islam is not king. Jesus Christ is king. He is king. Things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is king. Yeah. The temptation today is to turn on the TV and turn on the news. And it's shocking, isn't it, that we live in a time when you can turn on the news and that you can see on the news, you can see people being beheaded for the name of Jesus Christ by ISIS and by terrorism. But can I tell you what screams back to me when I see that is though they are not king. Jesus Christ is king this morning. Same thing is true in your life. You see, these things have application, not just globally. They have application personally because some of you are going through your own torment. You're going through your own battle. You're going through your own struggle. Can I tell you, you can look at that thing in the face and you can say, you are not king. Jesus Christ is king. Oppression is not king. Jesus is king. Depression is not king. Jesus is king. Persecution is not king. Jesus is king. Sickness is not king. Jesus is king. Things are not as they seem. Jesus is king. Amen. He is king. He is king. There's another phrase. It says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Can I tell you something this morning? Sin, I know the way it looks. I know the way it looks. When you look at the recent court rulings that we have had and the devaluing of a marriage, the devaluing of a marriage. When the highest court in our land rules in such a way that, yes, that they embrace gay marriage, and then on top of that, ruling after ruling after ruling after ruling that takes away the Christian's right in the workplace to even say that they were wrong. I know it seems like sin is winning. I mentioned it a moment ago. When a Planned Parenthood official and a doctor of all things can set and over coffee and cake talk about taking a human baby, a baby that at 2 weeks old has a heartbeat, 2 weeks to 18 days has a heartbeat, a baby that just a few days after that can wince at pain. Are you hearing me? A baby that a few weeks after that is sucking his thumb, and when they can set over coffee and cake and talk about taking that baby and murdering it, but carefully so that we can preserve the body parts and ship them off, it seems like sin is winning, doesn't it? And when there is such a muted response to it, it seems like sin is winning, but can I tell you that this phrase here, that he has freed us from our sins, tells us this morning, listen, sin does not rule. Jesus Christ is king. Just like in John's day, when it seemed like sin was winning, what came through was he has freed us from our sins. By his blood he has. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is king over sin. And as you turn on the newspaper, or open the newspaper, or turn on the news, I want you to be reminded this morning, in the day that we live, despite all of the stuff we see, listen to me this morning, Jesus Christ is still king. He still saves. He still redeems. He still rescues. He still washes us white as snow in his blood. He still frees us from the bondage of sin. Sin is not king. Jesus Christ is king. Jesus Christ is king. There's a phrase in verse 6 that says, Christ is king of the future. I want you to look what it says there. He has made us to be a kingdom, a priest, to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In John's world, they wanted to make Christians lunatics and nutcases and victims and martyrs. But Christ made them a kingdom of priests. Can I tell you something this morning? There is this mass effort in the world that we live in today. There is this mass effort to marginalize the Christian and the Christian voice, to make the Christian voice as a lunatic voice, a strange voice, to make the voice of truth an odd voice in the world. There is this sense of, in fact, some of the politicians, I've mentioned it on a Wednesday night, some of the politicians have already said, they've said publicly that going forward, that people must change their religious beliefs to come into line with U.S. law. Can I tell you what? My belief in what the world says, in the word says, trumps what the world says every single time. There's an attempt in the world we live to make us out to be lunatics and strange voices, but Christ says, I have made you a kingdom of priests. I have called you to a higher order. I have called you to live for me and to serve me. You don't serve the dollar. You don't serve the Constitution. You serve Christ and God the Father. To him be the glory. Don't you let this morning, listen to me, in the world that we live in, which does seem like it really does seem like it's coming unglued at the seams. Listen, don't you allow that to define you. Now, Pastor, what does that look like? What are you talking about here? We see it, don't we? We see church after church after church, denomination after denomination after denomination, and some very high profile preachers that are what? That are bowing, they are allowing the world to define who they are. But I want you to know this morning that those who will be true to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, he has made them kings and priests, my friend. Kings and priests. He rules over the future. The world doesn't decide your future. The world doesn't decide the future. The future belongs to Jesus Christ. Things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is king. Verse 7 and 8 says he's the king over it all. He's the king over it all. Look, he is coming in the clouds. He is the king over it all, and every eye will see him. That phrase there means he's the exalted one. Jesus Christ is king. He is the Alpha and Omega. You know what that means? That's the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter in the Greek. He is from A. He is the A and the Z, and he is the B, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and everything in between. Things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is king. He's the Lord over it all. The Lord over it all. Verse 8 says, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You understand what he's saying there? When all others fail, Jesus Christ is king. One of the ironic things, let me just give you an example of this. One of the ironic things about this idea that he is the one who will last when all others fail and his rule and his plan will still go. One of the ironic things in history that proves that is Hitler and the Nazi campaign in World War II. You know what the cruel, the ironic, you know what the ironic joke is on Hitler? What was Hitler's reign about? Hitler's reign, in large degree, was about annihilating the Jews. Some 12 to 13 million Jews and countless others that were murdered by the Nazi regime. But you know what came out after Hitler, in a bunker somewhere, in a cowardly act, killed himself, took his own life, and wouldn't even stand up to the punishment with this guy. After he was killed, you know what came out of World War II? Shortly after World War II, you remember what happened? The formation of the State of Israel for the first time in thousands and thousands of years. Do you understand the irony of that? That Hitler thought he won, but after killing 12 million Jews, but in fact, when Hitler was dead and in the grave, rose up the State of Israel. Jesus, things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is king. He is king. Mark Rutland said that he believes that Hitler has to read that headline in hell every single day. State of Israel. When they're all dead and gone, Jesus Christ is still king. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. Amen? I want you to get it this morning. I wanted to get into your spirit. I want you to hear it this morning. It goes on and on. The verses go on and on. In verse 17, he says, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. I hold the keys of death and Hades. See, here it is. What's the point, Pastor? What's the point? Here's the point. Knowing that Christ is King changes not only the way you see the future, it changes the way you live in the present. So live like Christ is King. That's the point of the book of Revelation. Yes, he was showing him the future, but he was also showing him this hope that in the moment, in the life that you live, Jesus Christ is King. And if we miss the point, what's the point? The point is Jesus Christ is King, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But if we get the point, and I'm going to close with this, if we get the point, there is a blessing in it. Look at verse 3. There's a blessing in the book of Revelation that does not apply to any other book of the Bible. It applies to the book that you don't find this kind of blessing in any other book of the Bible. Look at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. There is a blessing. You understand? There is a blessing when you get the point. And what is the blessing? Pastor, verse 4 tells us what it is. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Do you see it? In the day that we live, in the day that John lived, here is an old man. He is an old man. He's 80 years old. The Isle of Patmos was basically a rock quarry. And from that quarry was mined much of the stones that were used to build the great monuments of Rome and the great statues, many of which still exist today. And here is John, the apostle, and he has seen his world just turned upside down, and he's working alongside probably men a third or a fourth his age, an old man, toting this sack of rocks, making trip after trip after trip. And in the middle of it, no doubt, John, just like you and I, no doubt, John, God, what is going on? What is going on? And it says that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's like, Kevin, it's like God said, John, just come over here to the side for a minute. Let me show you something. Just step over here to the side for a minute. And let me show you, I know you've seen the murder of your friends. I know you've seen the martyrdom of all those around you. I know you've seen Jerusalem turned upside down. And you've seen the temple be crumbled and crushed by time. I know that you see that. But John, things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is King. And John, when you experience this revelation, even living in the day that you live, you will have grace. That word grace there, watch this. That word grace actually means to live under divine influence and favor. Can I tell you what this morning? It is, listen, that is good news this morning, church. When the world seems to be coming to an end, to know that in these last days, there is his grace that I can live under divine influence and divine favor, even in the day that I live now. There is grace. And there is peace. The word peace there actually is it means a state of being. It's not an attitude. It's a state of being. When the world's at chaos, those that have had a revelation of Jesus Christ, they're at peace. When the world seems to turn upside down, those that have a revelation of Jesus Christ, they stand right side up. When the world seems to be just coming apart, the Christian is in a state of peace. Do you see it this morning? The point of the book of Revelation, and we're going to unpack some of that stuff as we go through, but all the way through, I want you to get this morning. If you don't get anything else out of the whole series, get this morning. The hope of the world is the revelation, the unveiling, the revealing, the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And because of him, things are not as they seem. Why? Because Jesus Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. And in the middle of that, I and you can live with grace. I'm going to live under divine influence. Right? We live in a day, I'm gonna live under divine influence and divine favor. That's what grace means. The courts can rule like they wanna rule. The politicians can do what they do. The stock market can do what it does. I'm gonna live under divine influence and divine favor. And there's hope in that, friend. There's hope in that. And I'm gonna live and you're gonna live in peace. You know what will set you apart in this world we live? I'm just not sure. Now, don't mistake what I'm fixing. I'm not sure that being the loudest one in the room is going to set us apart anymore. Now don't mistake what I said. I'm going to stand for the truth and I'm going to speak for the truth. But historically, we have felt like we had to be the loudest one in the room. You know what I think is going to set you apart in this day of unsteadiness? It's the most steady one in the room. You know what's going to set you apart? It's living under divine influence. The world thinks this, and you see it like it is. Because Jesus Christ is King. I think the one that's going to have the most influence in the world is the one who can live in a state of peace, even when the world seems to be turned upside down. We're going to talk next week about Christ and his church. You do not want to miss that message. Then we're going to be talking about some other things. We're going to walk through this and talk about four or five different themes. But this morning, I want you to know this. You know what my prayer was at 4? At 3:45 this morning. At 3:45 this morning, I woke up. And I got up and we have a chair, a lounging chair beside the bed. And the Spirit wakens me. I get up and I just sat in it. And this morning at 3:45, I prayed for every single one of you this morning by name. Pastor, how do you do that? I stand behind the pulpit and I start here and I pray for Joy. And by the way, y'all are in the wrong place. Y'all supposed to be over there. You've messed my prayer scheme all up now. And I pray for Caroline. And I pray for Stacy. You messed me up too. You're supposed to be up here. But I go through and I call every one of you out. I call out Trevor and I call out Mike and I call out Gail and I call out Eddie. I call out Danny and Holly and every single one of you I call out this morning. And my prayer this morning was this: Lord, in these last days, let every single one of them, and let us as a church, and let the church as a people have a clear revelation of Jesus Christ. Because when we do, we can live as though things are not as they seem, because Christ is King. He 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 is King. That's my prayer over the next few weeks. You see, we over and over and over again have a revelation that Jesus Christ is King in all of these various situations that we will deal with. So what do I do with that, Pastor? What do I do with that? So I was praying. There's an old, and I want some of the praise team to come quick this morning. There's an old chorus that just welled up in my spirit that I thought was appropriate as a way for us to end this. Because here's what you got to do this morning in response to this message. You've got to settle this once and for all. You have to settle that Jesus Christ is King. Listen, the economy's not king. The politicians are not king. The Supreme Court is not king. The Congress is not king. The president is not king. Terrorism's not king, right? Jesus Christ is King. You got, listen, I thought I was about through, but let me just say this one. You got to stop letting them yank your chain. Stop letting them yank your chain. Stop letting them turn your world upside down. Don't you live in fear. Don't you live in discouragement. Don't you hide in terror, my friend. Settle this once and for all. In my life, I'm going to live as though Christ is King, as though Jesus is Lord. You got to settle this once and for all. And this little tune that I remember hearing as a little boy welled up in my spirit, and I thought, this is a way for us to end this morning. It simply says, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, the depression, the oppression, the sickness, the fear, the turmoil, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Do you know why? Because things are not as they seem. Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. As they sing that, I want this morning, I want you to stand and to sing that as a declaration that, Lord, I am going to turn my eyes. I'm going to stop letting the world yank my chain. I'm going to turn my eyes to you. I'm going to settle it. My eyes will be on you. You are King. You are King. Some of you this morning, they're facing some tough things, some difficult decisions, some tough things that are ahead of you. And in a very personal way this morning, this message is for you. No matter what the doctors say, no matter what the report says, no matter what the stock market says, listen, things are not as they seem. Jesus Christ is King in your life. And you are going to have to make a conscious effort. I think we're living in a time where you're going to have to make a conscious. I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. He is King. He is King. He is King. And then we as a people, meaning Christian people, we as a church and Christian people, we're going to have to be like John and allow the Spirit to take us aside and turn our eyes to Jesus. And let the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then from that, go out and live like Jesus Christ is King. Amen? That the world may know. That the world may know. I encourage you this week to go and to read the book of Revelation again, but without notes and without a pencil and without, just read it like a story. And see how over and over and over and over again, no matter how dark it gets, at the beginning and at the end and at times in between, rises up and Jesus Christ is King. Things are not as they seem. Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. Live like it. Amen. Amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.